my idea of why as a tutor and really the why I tutor the way that I do is founded by what I saw when I was being tutored, which is really great experience for me. I was really interested in botany and entomology as a kid. And that's something that my parents had no idea about. Butterflies were not their key area of interest, but they were mine. Often people have ideas that are better than what I thought. So sometimes I just have to...
Not that often.
Let them do it. If your child's quite advanced in things like math or English, you don't really want to go around going, oh, you know, my child knows the times tables and they're in reception. But because other parents will just look at you like you are forcing them to learn or something.
Hello and welcome to the Qualified Tutor Podcast, the podcast that brings you the latest in the world of tutoring, edtech, and education, and hopefully inspires in you the big change that each and every one of us is capable of. Qualified Tutor is an industry-leading tutor training organization and online tutoring community for thousands of tutors around the world. This podcast is the voice of this community, where we aim to hear from tutors, teachers, entrepreneurs, coaches, business experts, students, tutorpreneurs, and more from the world of tutoring about what inspires them every day, how they can help tutors like you, and what they've learned about tutoring along the way. The question is, what will you learn today?
Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Qualified Tutor Podcast. We're getting ever closer to that pinnacle number of 100 podcast episodes. This week, we're at episode number 96 with a wonderful tutor and business leader called Gemma Zoe Smith. Welcome, Gemma, to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm sorry we couldn't have you on for the 100th episode. If we just waited four more episodes, we could have brought you on, but we'll certainly bring you back, maybe for the 200th or for another celebratory episode number, because we have been meaning to speak to you on this podcast, Gemma, for quite some time, and we've got a wonderful backlog of guests, and I'm very, very happy that we've got to this conversation today, just 2 weeks before the Love Tutoring Festival. Now, just before we get onto the festival,
of course,
let me introduce you, Gemma, so that our listeners here know a little bit about you before you dive in. So Gemma is both the founder of The Education Hotel, which is a boutique tuition agency that supports families around the world, and also an education consultant who helps pupils of all ages and levels achieve very highly. Now, through this, Gemma has worked in, here we go, London, Dubai, Wyoming, Hawaii, New Mexico, Prague, Cannes, and I dare to say a lot more places. So quite the roll call there, really, from Gemma. Now, at the upcoming Love Tutoring Festival 2 that I just alluded to, Gemma will be delivering a keynote on the Monday, which is the 24th of January at 2 p.m. GMT on high learning potential, HLP. I'm sure you'll be hearing more about that in just a second, and gifted and talented students and how we can understand them best. But first, Gemma, our opening question, what is your why as a tutor?
Okay, so I had a little bit of time, I had to think about this. And I think there is one big thing that drives me when I'm teaching, and that is to help my students to be the best. And the best is kind of a very generic term, but what I mean is not anyone else's idea of best, but what that student particularly wants to achieve. So we've had students come to the Education Hotel for whom the best means scoring particularly highly on an entrance exam. And then we have those who want to improve their confidence or who want to move up a set. But I suppose that's why I kind of tutor and what I like to see from a student. And that really comes, I suppose, from my background. I'm come from a not an academic background. So both my parents, my dad's a builder, my mum's a cleaner, and they left school at 14 and 16. So it's not the same education as I've been able to have. But when they had me, they knew that that they wanted me to do the best that I could academically. And when they couldn't support that themselves at home, they invested by getting tutors. So my idea of why as a tutor and really the why I tutor the way that I do is founded by what I saw when I was being tutored, which is really great experience for me. So again, as we said, I'm running a session on the HLP, so high learning potential. And a lot of our students, indeed in there and elsewhere, have really interesting interests. And I was one of those. I was really interested in botany and entomology as a kid. And that's something that my parents had no idea about. Butterflies were not their key area of interest, but they were mine. And so really being able to delve into a student's interest and a student's motivations and help them to be the best and really the best of what they want to be. So if that is, you know, I would like to write a book on this, or I would like to get to this university, it really doesn't matter, I suppose, what the end goal. It's about having a student be able to go back, look back at the work that they've done and say, I didn't think I could do this, but I've worked at it and now I can do it. And look at that. Isn't that great? Because I have managed to get to prove where that I could do what I wanted to do. And yeah, I think that's because that drove me.
Yeah. So that's always been your why. If I'd asked you this, she's been on this podcast 10 years, it would have been the same answer.
It would have always been the same. Yeah. And it really has been founded by tutors that I had. So they were really ambitious, but realistic as well. And they helped me to realize, like for my undergrad, I went to Oxford. I hadn't considered really university until I'd finished my GCSEs. My parents obviously had no background in it. That came from a tutor. That came from a tutor saying, you know what, let's go and see Cambridge, because Cambridge was nearest to where I lived. And let's go and look at what it could look like. And that's something that really encouraged me to push myself, because I saw it and I thought, I want to go somewhere like this. And so I'm going to really push for the grades and I'm going to push myself forwards. But if it wasn't for a tutor, I probably wouldn't have considered it. So,
yeah. And Gemma, this is a really interesting thread that you're pulling on. I hadn't even really considered what you're saying here before properly in my mind, but you've just helped me kind of figure that out. You are now that tutor.
Yeah, it's great.
And potentially so am I as a tutor. And so is every single other tutor up and down the country, across the world, can be that tutor that then leads the child onto, you know, whatever they go on to, whatever success they have. How do you manage that? How do you interact with that idea?
So, yeah. So I suppose there's responsibility, but it's also really interesting, because majority of the time I work with tweens and teens. So they are at that point where they're starting to make those decisions and they're starting to think about those decisions themselves. So a lot of what I do, I work quite intensively with students. As you said, I go to different countries and I work with clients out there. So a lot of this happens over the dinner table nowadays. So just conversations and really getting to know a student, getting to know their interests and suggesting stuff to them. So over Christmas, I was in a not so glamorous place. I was in the UK, in a town in Winchester. And I had a student who I was staying with, who I was working with. And they're thinking about A-levels or IB. And one of the things that they were considering was philosophy. Now, philosophy is not my area. I studied biochemistry at university. I'm a science teacher. But I'd been watching a program, a Netflix kind of series. it's really fictional, called The Good Place. It's a kind of cheesy drama type thing. But it's got a lot of philosophy in it. And so I said to them, look, check it out, you know, give it have a look and see, is it something that's interesting? And they dropped me a message a couple of days ago. Yeah, I've watched it. And actually, I can see the way that different philosophers see things. And it's that kind of conversation that I think I really enjoy, and probably why I'd say that I both tutor, but I also mentor. And that would be, I suppose, the way that I would see a tutor is not just an academic, not just looking at how do we be the best in an exam, but also how do we develop a student as a person.
For those of you who know the Love Tutoring Festival, you'll be delighted to hear that we're back. From Monday the 24th to Friday the 28th of January 2022, the Love Tutoring Festival will return, bigger and better than ever. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you're in for a real treat. The most loved festival in tutoring, the Love Tutoring Festival is a 5-day online celebration of all things tutoring, with some of the biggest names in tutoring, education and pedagogy, and hundreds of committed and motivated tutors from all four corners of the globe taking part. It really is the biggest party in tutoring. We will again be working on a freemium ticket model this year, with all events totally free, apart from our famous and ludicrously inexpensive CPD accredited workshops. You can find out more, including the confirmed speakers so far, how to grab your place, and key information on our wonderful sponsors at qualifiedtutor.org/lovetutoringfestival. Let's raise standards in tutoring together.
So, Gemma, you run the education hotel and your education consultant business.
Mm.
How do you manage both?
It's hard. It is. And it's tricky to get them running the way that I want them both to. So it is something I'd say I'm still working on, definitely. Because there's times where everything is running really well and really smoothly in the education hotel. Let me take a look at Top School and Uni, which is the consultancy. And I'm like, oh, there's things I want to change. And then I kind of get into changing that. And then there's something with the education hotel. So it's always, it is a bit of plate spinning. But I've decided to do the two. I really didn't originally plan to. I originally thought I'd do the education hotel. I keep myself busy and occupied, and I'd grow that and I'd develop that, and that would be the business that I ran. But really what I started to realize was actually some of that stuff that I talked about earlier, that mentoring side. There were points where people were booking sessions with me and with my tutors that weren't for academic tuition. So I had parents who booked sessions just to understand what is the UK university like? So what is the session like? Because I've got a lot of international students. They want to know, what's it like to do university in the UK? Can we understand it? Or I had parents whose children had entered boarding school and maybe they were getting reports back, but they didn't quite understand them. And they wanted to know, what can we be doing to support? Because yes, we could get a tutor in, but is that going to be the best thing? I go to parents' evenings on behalf of some of my students as well. And then there was always parents and families who were looking at school entrance. So what school should we apply for? What's going to be the best fit for our child? And the same for university. What's going to be the best fit for our family, for our child, to make sure that they are developing their interests? So that's where Top School and Uni came in, because it's a very different model to tutoring. Tutoring it's kind of you are either exam based or you're support based, or you are supporting a child throughout their journey, their educational journey. But this involves more and there's kind of more conversational stuff to it. So that's where, yeah, that's where the Top School and Uni kind of had to come in. I felt like there wasn't a way that I could leave it. And I thought, well, you know, it's something that I know parents need, and that support is needed. So let's start it up. But in terms of balancing it, it is hard, and it's something that kind of have to keep going back to and tweaking.
So what advice would you have for someone who's thinking of setting up two similar but certainly distinct education businesses?
Something I'm not very good at, which is splitting your time.
Right.
So I have gotten a lot more this couple of years into time blocking, because I have to try and keep both businesses up and both working, and then delegate. Because, and again, it's something that I'm learning to let go of. I have a VA who is based in the Philippines, and she looks after our social media and our newsletters. I have a VA, a client manager, who works in the UK. I have my partner who works with me. He does the website stuff, but I'm starting to give more stuff away, because ultimately someone's going to be better than I am at certain bits of it. Not everything, but there are definitely skills that I don't have that someone else does have. I've just recently got a support for setting up kind of an email list, so that everyone who comes on board with the Education Hotel gets welcome from me and all of that stuff. So yeah, delegation.
I always find easier said than done.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's just part of that. Yeah, part of that fairly kind of well-known trope now of it being hard to let go of something you've started. And I think lots and lots of people have started education businesses in the past 2 years. And probably now, you know, 2 years down the line, they're getting to that stage where they need to delegate. The business is growing. They have too many clients or customers to handle themselves. So I think, you know, you've been doing this obviously much longer than just the past 2 years, really. So that's you know, that's a very, it's very important to hear that. I think just a listener today hearing you say that's the kind of trigger that someone needs to actually kind of implement that. I think it can be so hard to know that that's what you should be doing, but for that just to sit on your to-do list for, you know, a month.
It's hard because also when you take in a new person, you have to train them. And sometimes you're like, I just don't have time. I don't have time to train them. So then you put it off, but they are the person that's going to save you time. It is something I still work on, because I still struggle to give bits up, and I still think, oh, are they going to do it like I do it? But ultimately that comes down to training and communication, and, you know, often people have ideas that are better than what I thought. So sometimes I just have to,
not that often,
let them do it.
And now just a quick word from sponsors of Day One at the Love Tutoring Festival, Special Educational Needs and Disabilities, Mental Health and Wellbeing, Remedy Tutors.
We are Remedy Tutors, set up with the sole intention of providing skilled and engaging educators for looked after children, unaccompanied asylum seeking children, those with special or additional learning needs and vulnerable groups. We've already had a huge impact on the lives of hundreds of young learners, with amazing success closing the attainment gap and helping children to re-engage with education. Find out more about joining Remedy Tutors and how we work on our website, www.remedytutors.co.uk. Look forward to hearing from you soon.
Now, Gemma, can you, just turning a little bit towards upcoming events, can you tell us a little bit more about the keynote that you'll be delivering at the Love Tutoring Festival too? Not everything, okay. But can you tell us a little bit about a teaser, perhaps?
Okay, it's something I'm really looking forward to. Because last year I listened into a couple of the talks, so to actually be able to speak about something is quite cool. And it's on the topic of high learning potential, which is something that is, I suppose, less known sometimes in the UK. but something which I've got a personal draw to. I, at university, was diagnosed as dyslexic, and at the same time told that I fitted into the high learning potential, high IQ gifted category. So I'm coming at it from a personal point, but also from now several years down the line. It took me a while to get round to rereading that report and re-understanding what it meant, and really getting to know the community and getting to know students who have HLP and really what that means. So kind of looking back, and I'm excited because it's something that I think often when I interview tutors for the Education Hotel, I say to them, oh, we've got a small cohort of learners who are high learning potential, and this is how they present. And I'll explain to them about some of our learners, and some of our learners are really, really extended within a certain subject. So it's called kind of having a spiky profile. So I'd say they're kind of age related at certain subjects, but they're much further beyond in their real areas of interest. And sometimes that can be kind of beyond academics. And I explain this to people, and sometimes we take on teachers and ex-teachers, and they're like, I've had one of those in my class and I just didn't know what to do, because I gave them extension work and they'd finished, and then I was like, what do I do? And it is something that's really hard to do in the classroom, because you get students who are bright, and then you get students who are high learning potential, which is kind of a step above. So it's going to be quite fun to talk about some of the case studies that we've had, and some of the techniques and the areas that we've been able to go into, because we now have a team that work with high learning potential, and some of the stuff that we do is really interest led. So I have team members who work with students who are quite young, but who really need that challenge, because they're not necessarily getting it at school, and it's usually in a really interesting area. I'm going to try not to say so much, because I want to save some bits for those tutors who come along for the talk.
Yeah. So what kind of things are you hoping, what kind of learnings are you hoping attendees will have kind of by the end of the session?
So I'm hoping that by the time people finish the session, they will be able to identify someone who might be HLP, and to be able to point their family in a direction of support and where they can meet other families, because that often is a big thing when your child seems different to everyone else in the class. And you don't want to, if your child's quite advanced in things like math or English, you don't really want to go around going, oh, you know, my child knows the times tables and they're in reception. But because other parents will just look at you like you are forcing them to learn or something. So being able to talk to other parents is one thing. But also so that tutors can consider not just HLP, but again, students who are bright, students who are maybe they are within certain subjects, they are above the level that they need to be. What can a tutor do? Because often people think about tutoring as support. So if a student is struggling, but actually it can be used in the other way. And if a student is doing very well, they're likely to get bored. And you'll see that in a classroom, you'll see disruption, you'll see, you know, a student who might just become disengaged, and indeed the marks will slip. So how can a tutor get involved, and how can a tutor help that family to really develop that student?
That is pretty good learning, I think, for a free 1 hour event with you, Gemma. So I think that's going to be a really, really good kind of post lunch session. That's at 2 p.m. UK time on Monday, the 24th of January. And that will be followed by a keynote by Fiona Spargo-Mabbs about young people, drugs and decisions, that kind of thing. So that Monday is a really, really about understanding. It's about furthering your learning. It's about being sensitive to the kind of the different kinds of learners that there are out there. Mm-hmm. And really expanding your knowledge and not staying in your own lane, which I think a lot of tutors and educators may sometimes be kind of guilty of. But just to finish here, Gemma.
Of course.
We have to finish. I know, yep. it's very sad. We do have to finish. All good things. What does 2022 hold for?
Okay. Hopefully... first of all, I suppose doing more of what I love. So that's the first thing. I really enjoy tutoring and I really enjoy advising families. So that's fairly similar. But for us, I think 2022 for me is all about future-proofing. The last 2 years, and really I started the Education Hotel fully in September 2019. I'd worked one-to-one as a tutor for I've done it about 10 years now, but the actual agency came in a lot later. So we started, and then about 7 months later, COVID started. So we have run and expanded and really built the agency side of it up over these last couple of years. And it's been tough because we've all been locked down and really there hasn't, it's felt kind of, on yourself. So the big thing for me is really to look to the future, and I want to make sure that we can continue helping families, so that the Education Hotel as a tuition agency and Top School and Uni as the education consultancy can both continue to support students for a really long time in the future. And so that's 2022's kind of focus, is making sure that everything is sustainable and everything can continue for the future. So that's the big thing.
Sustainability. Perfect. I think that's going to be the word of 2022, if it isn't already. Gemma, thank you so much for giving up some of your time to speak to us. As I said, the next place that you can hear Gemma, at least in qualified tutor land, is at the Love Tutoring Festival on the very first day of the festival, Monday the 24th of January at 2 p.m., straight after lunch. Next week, we'll be talking to Diego Mello, the founder of Nudge Education, and Claire Devaney Glynn about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder and about some of the work that Nudge have been doing in that area. So don't miss out on that either. That will be the final podcast before the festival, at which point we'll take a break from the weekly podcast. But of course, there will be 4 late night live podcasts at the festival to make up for a lack of weekly podcasts. So tune in for those. Definitely come and see Gemma at 2 p.m. on the first day. And a huge, huge thank you once again to you, Gemma.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
I hope you've enjoyed talking about it. I know it's something that very much is your passion project, and I think that shines through very, very clearly. So we'll see you all next time. Thank you. Cheerio. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Qualified Tutor Podcast. Whether you're a regular listener of this podcast or you've just stumbled across it, join the Qualified Tutor podcast group within the Qualified Tutor community to stay up to date with our latest news, offers, workshops, and of course, simply to meet other tutors like you. Whatever your level as a tutor, our training courses will be the next step in your professional development. Visit qualifiedtutor.org/training to find out more about our CPD accredited and Ofqual recognised courses, the first of their kind in the tutoring industry. Your student deserves the best tutor possible. Make that happen today by joining Qualified Tutor.org.